We're still in the temptations of Jesus. You're probably aware that Jesus went through trials himself, right? He went through some difficult times in his own life. And he passed every test. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If he hadn't passed, so we learned last week that he was able to go into the tests and go through the tests because he knew the Word of God and because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Luke chapter 4's record of Jesus going into the temple, going into the wilderness, says that and he was full of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit led him into the wilderness. So he was full of the Holy Spirit when he went into this area of trials and temptation. Every single one of you, if you're not having a difficult time right now, I'm going to prophesy over you. You're going to have. Okay? I'm not trying to be negative. That's just life. That's just life. And part of this life is that we learn to walk through it with the Lord. And as Kristen Winslow prayed a while ago, you know, it makes it easier when we do it with Jesus. Makes it easier when we do it with Jesus. And so learning to do it with Jesus, learning to do it with the Holy Spirit makes it a whole lot easier. And there's a purpose on the other end. Okay? I also want you to know that we are strengthened by the process. We are strengthened by the process. And I'm not going to go any further because I want to bring that up a little later in my message. But God has a purpose for you, and the only way you're going to be able to fulfill that purpose is to go through some of these tests that you're going through. Okay? And it's okay. It's okay to not be so happy about it in the beginning. But our attitude needs to change. Okay? Our attitude needs to change. So in Matthew chapter 4, turning in your Bibles, I don't have this on the overhead because you need to get in a habit. I'm trying to teach the boys where the books of the Bible are. Okay? And they're learning, they will have, before we meet next time, they're going to have 12 New Testament books memorized. Not the whole books, just the names of the books. Okay? And so parents, please help them with that. So Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days. And after 40 days, he was hungry. And then Satan came to him, or the tempter, and said, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." And Jesus said, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And then Satan took him up to the holy city, which is Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written." Did you know that Satan could quote Scripture? Yes. Satan said, "He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." And Jesus said to him, "It's written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And again the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." The devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. We discussed last week several things, but one thing in particular that I want to kind of address again this morning is the greater the testing, the greater the blessing. If you pass the test. Okay? The greater the testing, the greater the blessing. And so I'm going to ask Betty if she would this morning to come and just share with us a little bit about what has transpired with her the last few, since we've known her.
No, so, too long.
Too long. So, yeah, right there was fine.
Okay. A lot of things have changed in my life since I've been here, but I'm only going to touch on since last fall. I've had a variety of challenges and trials and not always having the answers. Sometimes we think of trials, well, have I sinned or is there some disobedience in my life? And we start thinking about that. So we take care of all of that, and it's like we're still in the middle of these trials. It's like, what's going on? I did what I thought I had to do. But sometimes part of the trials is just because God, it's for God's glory. Yeah. He has a plan and a purpose, and he wants to use us through our trials. We don't always have the answers or sometimes see the pictures. So most of you know I've had several trials. The rental property I lived in for 3.5 years sold last fall, so I had to move. That was a trial in itself. You know, the housing situation here is not very good, so I never could find another place to move to that I could afford. But God came through. He taught me how to trust him and provided housing for me. I had problems with trying to find a storage unit. There's plenty of them around, but they're all full. My first storage unit was in Cloverdale, which was quite a drive away. And then the Lord provided one in Garibaldi, which was local. So, and even that, I've had trials with the rain coming in and getting things wet. So just when you think he's got an answer, there's more trials to it. But I keep learning to trust and to persevere through all of these things. I had fixer cars. And so God has provided me with a brand new car, which is an answer, a big answer to prayer there. For several months, I had difficulty on my job with my employer, and that eventually led to me being terminated in January. And I had started looking for work back in November and stuff, half-heartedly, but because I had a job. And then trying to find jobs here and just feeling convinced that God wanted me here, and even though I was looking elsewhere. And so God has provided, and I will talk more about that during the offering time, not right now. Then I started a seminary class, and I thought it would be easy. Okay, I could go back to school. I know how to write papers and stuff like that. No. That was really, really tough. God taught me how to get rid of the old and bring in the new. He was transforming my mind and learning how to study the Bible in a different way. Very, very difficult for me. But passed the class with an A. So
praise the Lord.
I know. So God has provided in many, many ways. And, you know, I've received the physical blessings. I've gotten housing. I've gotten a new car. I've gotten a storage unit and passed the class, but I've received a lot of spiritual blessings, a lot of them. I grew closer to God. I learned to trust him in a different way. A lot of times we know that we're supposed to trust, but to put absolutely everything on the line for him, it's hard. But it's something we have to learn as we go through these trials, and we won't learn it if we don't have a need. So if we're not going through trials, we're not going to learn some of these things. Through the difficulties on the job, God refined me. He took out some of the attitudes, behaviors that were not acceptable to him. And I couldn't get mad at this individual because God used this individual. And it's like, okay, Lord, I have no reason to be angry. I asked for it. So just learning to trust him unconditionally and learn so much about him. And again, I will talk more during the offering.
All right. Thank you, Betty. Let me make sure I'm still on. Yeah. So if we go through these trials without the Lord and without the Word, it's very difficult. Every one of us are going to go through trials. That's a given. And so I want to encourage you to make sure when you face those trials that you start, if you haven't already, start getting into the Word of God and really pour into Him and let Him pour into you. Okay? And allow Him to lead you and guide you in the way you're to go. Jesus was only able to address the issues that was brought before Him because He knew the Word of God, and the Word of God guided Him in the way He should go. When He came out the other side, He was a whole lot stronger than He was when He went in. And He was ready to do what God had was preparing Him to do before He went in. And so, just remember that if you don't have a good handle on the Word of God and you face these temptations and trials, you may not come out as well as Betty did. Okay? And this has been going on for months. Months and months and months. And we've been going beside her and praying with her and encouraging her and strengthening her. And she'll share more, but actually she got the job she's been praying for. Okay? And she'll share more about that later. But today, we're going to continue from last week, and we talked about last week, what did Jesus do during the temptations? This week, we're going to talk about what did He say? What did He say? So the first thing He said, when Satan approached Him, Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." I want you to say every word.
Every word.
Say it again.
Every word.
Say it one more time. You know, there are a lot of people who want to pick and choose what they believe. Okay? They think the Bible is like a buffet line. And you go to this cafeteria, and yeah, I'll take some peas and collard greens and fried chicken. I don't want no Brussels sprouts. I don't want no spaghetti. I don't want no hot dogs. No, I'm in the buffet. I want the big stuff. Okay? I want a steak. I'm in the buffet. When you're reading God's Word, you don't get to pick and choose what you like and what you're going to embrace and what you're going to accept. Jesus said, if you're going to live, and if you're going to live abundantly, and if you're going to live in freedom, and if you're going to live rightly, you have to choose, you have to embrace every single word that is spoken. Because the Bible is God-breathed. Okay? The Bible is God-breathed. Look, if you would, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture, say all Scripture, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All Scripture is God-breathed. Okay? I've asked you on your action steps to memorize this passage of Scripture for next week. Okay? So, it's an easy passage. Even easy to remember because you remember John 3:16. Now you can remember 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for correction, for training, for teaching, correcting, training, and righteousness, okay? So memorize that. Get that in your heart because you need to have all Scripture in your heart. Every word of God is important. Every single word. And here's what happens. When you're going through testing, oftentimes doubt comes into your mind. Is this really what God said? You remember how Eve was tempted? Did God really say you shouldn't eat that fruit? And then she began doubting. There was a little bit of confusion in her mind. And then she thought, well, maybe that's not really what God meant. When you are tested, You're going to have doubts. There's going to be confusion. And you're going to wonder, what did God really say? How are you going to know? What did God really say? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there with the doubt and confusion? Because your mind says, that really doesn't make sense. What I feel like God is telling me doesn't really make sense in my mind. But the truth is, God wants to lead you into all truth. Okay? That's what Spirit is to lead you into all truth. And so as you're praying and as you're seeking God, you can take this to the bank. God will lead you where He wants you to go. But you can't allow circumstances to get you or people to get you off course. You have to always hear what God is saying and depend upon Him. Every word, every word, every word, every word. Don't let doubt and confusion enter in. Okay? I want to encourage you, because that's where many of us get messed up, is that we begin doubting what God said to us. Another thing about God's Word is that it brings freedom. Look at this passage of Scripture in James chapter 1, verse 25. It says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, say, law of liberty. Do you ever think of God's law as being a law of freedom? A lot of people think of God's Word as being a word of bondage. They think the more you follow it, the more in bondage you become. James says, and I've discovered for myself, and if you're following God's will and His Word, you've discovered that the more you apply God's Word to your life, the more freedom you experience. Okay? Some of you used to be bound up, and now you're free. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I used to be bound up, and now I'm free. I'm free indeed, and becoming freer every day. Praise the Lord. The second thing that Jesus said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You remember Satan told Jesus, I want you to throw yourself down. He took him on a high pinnacle and said, I want you to throw yourself down. If you do, the angel, Scripture says, angels will give His charge over you lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. It is written. And I wanted to know, where was that written? And did you know that it's only one time in Scripture? And what was taking place in Deuteronomy chapter 6:16, it says, you will not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted Him at Massah. All right, what happened at Massah? Well, the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. And they came to this place that had no water. And they started complaining because they had no water. And I'm thinking, if I didn't have water, I might complain too. That doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. And so Deuteronomy was actually talking about a previous passage of Scripture in Exodus. And you can look this up if you want to, but it's in Exodus chapter 17. And what was going on, let me just tell you, in Exodus chapter 4 through 12, the Lord delivered the Israelites from the Egyptians' hands by sending 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. You remember that story? In Exodus chapter 13, God's Spirit went before the children of Israel at night by fire, in the day by a cloud, and the children of Israel were able to follow Him. And so every day, the Lord was with them. Every day He was guiding their steps, showing them the way. Also, chapter 13, the wrath of God is upon Egypt so strong that Pharaoh sends the children of Israel out of Egypt with a lot of Egypt's wealth. Okay? Chapter 14, they cross the Red Sea on dry land. Chapter 14, Egyptian army drowns in the sea. Chapter 15, bitter waters made sweet at Marah. So there's some water. The children of Israel were thirsty. They went to get water, and it was not good water. It was not Tillamook water. It was horrible water. And so Moses cuts down a tree and throws it in the water, and the water becomes sweet. They're able to drink the water. Okay? That's chapter 15. Chapter 16, manna falls from heaven. Day after day after day after day, they see the miracles of God every morning. They see the miracles of God before their very eyes. And every day, they see Him providing for them, whether it's water, whether it's manna, whether it's quail. I haven't gotten to the quail yet. But whatever it is, God is providing for them. That's in chapter 16. The manna falls from heaven, feeds millions, millions of the children of Israel every day. Then chapter 17, they start complaining because there's no water. And they start testing the Lord. In verse 7 of chapter 17, they say, so they called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the contention of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? I want you to look back over your life, and I want you, you know, and I'm not going to give you very long, but if you look back over your life, you can see how God met your needs at this point, this point, and this point, and this point, and this point. I want to ask you a question. When you're going through difficulties and trials and temptations, do you look at the circumstances and start complaining? Or you do look back over God's deliverance for you in every area and you begin to say, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And I know that if you brought me through this, you're going to bring me through this. God is faithful. And if He brought you through that, I don't care what you're under now, He can bring you through this. He can bring you through it, brother. He can bring it through you, sister. He's going to. He's going to. Whatever you're in right now, God will bring you through, but you have to do it His way. Okay? Because if you start doing it your way, you're going to mess it up. And then you just have to keep wallowing in the mud. You get stuck and you can't get out. You keep having to go around in the wilderness. How many times are you going to go around Mount Sinai? So keep trusting. Just trust. Just trust. Just trust. The Lord said, Jesus said, seek me first and my righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. That's a promise. You put Him first, you start walking with Him. I don't care where you are in your life right now, if you start putting Him first, He will bring you through. Now, I want you to just be aware of this, that sometimes you cannot make it on your own and you need a church body to help you get there. Don't try to get there on your own. You're going to mess it up. Okay? God did not create you to be a lone ranger. That's not what He created you to be. Don't say, well, I don't want to bother anybody. Bother somebody! Amen. Bother somebody! That's why we're here! Did you know that we have a lot of gifts in this church that if you just said, I need to bother somebody, that God would begin to send forth His army to help you? Did you know that? We have people who are gifted and they are passionate about using their gifts for God's glory to help you. So don't be silent. Let somebody know, hey, I need help. Did you know there are many of you who could step out of your problem a lot sooner than you're doing so right now? You can carry it as long as you want to. As long as you want to. That's on you. But you know in your heart that you need to talk to somebody. You know in your heart that you need to see somebody so that they can help you get over the hump. Well, I don't want to bother anybody. Or, I can get this on my own. How long have you been saying, I can do this on my own? I can do this on my own. I don't need anybody's help. So Jesus said, I'm not going to tempt the Lord. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to bellyache. I'm not going to test Him to see if He's going to kill me or not. See if I'm going to just flop on the ground when I throw myself off that temple. I'm not going to test Him. Most of us in here have walked with the Lord long enough to be able to have a track record of what God has done in our life. In every trial, we should never come to a place where we complain anymore. We should be at a place in our life where we can glorify God. Now, when you hear me complain, you need to remind me of this. Okay? You need to remind me, Brad. You remember that message you preached? Oh, yeah. I didn't want you to bring that up. So don't tempt the Lord. Complaining demonstrates unbelief. Complaining demonstrates unbelief. Also, testing from the Lord strengthens you, preparing you for what lies ahead. Now, I mentioned this earlier, but Jesus was about to begin His ministry. Okay? Now, let me just state, do you know how old He was when He started His ministry? 30 years old. Okay? His ministry lasted 3 years. 30 years old. And Jesus was being trained from a young boy to this present time. Okay? He was being trained, preparing him for what lies ahead. He had to go through this for his preparation period so that he could accomplish what God had called him to do. So I want to ask you a question. Trial that you're going through right now, what is God preparing you for? You may not even know. But I guarantee you it's better than you can imagine. I guarantee you. And the Lord is preparing you for something. And it's going to have to do with engaging in people's lives. Okay? He's not preparing you to sit at home and cocoon yourself in your home. He's preparing you to engage in people's lives, to bring glory to the Lord, to bring them to a place where they can get on their feet, start working for the Lord and helping to prepare other people so that they can, in turn, grow up in their maturity and help other people who are a few steps behind. You know, I'm just a few steps ahead of some of you. In some ways, many of you are a few steps ahead of me in areas. And we help each other. We help each other. Jesus said, don't tempt the Lord by your complaining. Well, I guess that's what I said. I don't know that He said that. But it's there. All right. The last thing that Jesus said, He says, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only will you serve. There's a lot packed in this little phrase, and I'm not going to I'm not going to address the issue of worship and service. You know, they go hand in hand. Worship and service, if you're not serving the Lord, you're not worshiping Him. Okay? You might think worship is only praise and singing, but it's service as well. Okay? And I'm not going to go there. So Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan." Did you know that Satan knew Jesus? Did you know that he knew him before you were created? Before the heavens and earth was created? Did you know that? Satan used to be called Lucifer. He was an angel. And Satan knew Jesus a long time before the earth was created. And Satan is a created being. And Satan tried to usurp authority over God, tried to take his throne. He said, "I will be like the Most High God. I will be." And tried to usurp his authority, tried to get the Father to... He tried to have dominion over the Father and over the Son. Did you know that he was trying to get dominion over Jesus right here? He was trying to get dominion over Jesus. If Jesus would have said, "Okay, I'll fall down and worship you." Because, you know, there is a caveat. If you fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the earth. Everything will be yours. And Jesus said, "It's not worth it." But once he passed the test, Jesus, the scriptures later on says that Jesus has all the earth. Okay? So Jesus took the earth back. Satan wanted to have power over Jesus. And if Jesus had yielded to temptation, then he would have been under the power of Satan, and he would have been under the power of sin. And it's the same with us. When we yield to temptation, Satan has authority over us. Look, if you would, at Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. This passage of Scripture says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" So whose servant are you? Are you the servant of sin? Are you the servant of Satan? Are you the servant of God? These questions are in your action steps. And here's the, let me say this. Every single one of us have been under Satan's authority at one time or another. Okay? Every single one of us has been dominated by sin in our lives at one time or another. And if you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're still there. You don't have dominion over sin. You don't have power over temptation. Because when temptation comes your way, you are like diving in a pool. And you can't keep from going there. If you don't know Christ, you don't have the power. Jesus said, "Whom the Son sets free, you will be free indeed." Who the Son sets free, you will be free indeed. So if you're not free from the power of sin in your life, there's one of two things going on. Either, number one, you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You have never repented of your sin, and you've never turned to Him for salvation. You've never invited Him into your life. You've never given Him authority in your life. Or the second thing is, you may have prayed to receive Christ, but you have not yielded control of your life to the Lord. Okay? And sometimes that's a process. Okay? It's not a one-time thing. Here's the way it normally works. It's the way it's worked for me. So there's an area that I struggle with. As a Christian, I know it's not what God wants, and so I struggle with it, until I overcome it. I say, whoo, and then God shows me something else. Okay? And then I struggle with that, and then, whoo, I overcome that, and then God shows me something else. Okay? It's a process. We are not perfected. We are being perfected. Okay? We are not Christ-like. We're becoming Christ-like. In God's eyes, we're already there. And so in our eyes, we need to get where he already sees us. Okay? Does that make sense? Positionally, we are all that. Experientially, we're not there yet. But this is what I know. The first step is confession of sin, asking His forgiveness, and 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess our sin, repent of that sin, God immediately forgives us. But the cleansing sometimes takes a while. Okay? But if we keep at it, if we keep with the Lord, and we keep hanging around people who are maybe a few steps ahead of us, and get some input from them, they can help us get to the next level. Okay? So where are you in your relationship with the Lord? Are there some hidden things in your heart that I don't want anybody to know about this? I'm struggling and I don't want anybody to know because I might feel judged. You know what? There's nobody in this church. You know this as truth. There's nobody in this church who will judge you for struggling. First thing you have to do is confess. And you don't have to necessarily confess it before the whole church, but you do need to confess to someone. We're going to have an invitation. And wherever you are in this journey, if you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity today to do that, to make Him Lord of your life. And the way you do that is basically saying, God, I'm a sinner. I ask You to forgive me. These are some things I've done wrong, and you name them and ask Him to forgive you, and then put your trust in Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Jesus. Ask Him to come into your heart. Lord, I'm a sinner. I've turned away from You, and now I'm turning to You, and I want You in my life. Make me a child of Yours. Save me from myself. Save me from Satan. Save me from hell. Save me, Lord Jesus. Father, I come before You today. And Lord, I pray for these, my brothers and sisters. And Lord, we all go through trials. We all go through temptations. Lord, to be honest, I'm going to just be honest with You. I've not always done it without complaining. And I'm asking Your forgiveness today so that I may be able to, Lord, the next trial I face, do it knowing that You're with me, knowing what Your Word says, and knowing that because You've brought me out of the things of the past, that You're going to bring me out of this too. Lord, there may be some here today who've never truly given their heart to You. They may have prayed a prayer, but they've never really given their heart to You. And Lord, I pray that You would call them to Yourself. Lord, that they would respond to Your call. And we ask in Jesus' holy name. Let's stand together as we sing.